Education is the key to success. Go to school, get a job, and live a good life. That is the African dream. And Jay, is it just me or someone lied to the masses? People are on these streets carrying their entire alphabet of degrees, and yet they are living hand to mouth. No one is questioning what are we learning, why are we learning it, what is education, and what is success. Let's not forget, there is also a growing number of people with special and varying needs who do not even have access to basic education. I have to ask, is education in Africa broken? My name is Teboho Kangote III. Join me every week as I sit down with experts, educators, parents, and students to talk about the state of education on the African continent. It's a lot. Welcome to the Educated Africana. And welcome to the Educated Africana. My name is Teboho Kangote, and I'm here today conversing with Zainath and Gift about a very touchy subject. We are going to talk today about trade versus corporate. Where do you fall? What do you think? What is it? Is it white collar? Is it blue collar? What is happening? Zainath, would you like to just tell us, what is trade in your view? What is trade education?
All right, here we go. Well, trade education for me just means being qualified in some sort of skill that you can use. You know, you can use your hands to work, as opposed to studying something that's theoretical, but something that you can actually use practically.
Gift, would you like to just share with us, as Chulu was saying earlier on, is it blue collar? Is it white collar? What is this corporate education?
Thank you, Teboho. So for me, I think trade education is basically the skills and abilities that one gets to learn or develop outside the traditional classroom setup, like the university or college. And then the corporate is the one that you get when you go to your university and you study to get maybe a diploma or a degree. So I would say trade would ideally fall under the blue collar and corporate under the white collar.
Okay, Zainath, I'm going to go back to you. For the person who's at home and who doesn't know exactly what the blue collar means, and it speaks a lot more about people who have completed their corporate studies. What exactly does it mean to have studied a blue collar qualification?
It means that you went to some, like here in the US, for example, they have community colleges where you can go, say, study something like nursing for 2 years, or automotive mechanics, or computer graphics, or sewing, and you've attained some sort of skill that you don't really need a bachelor's degree for, but you can earn a living from it. Like Gift said, it doesn't always have to be in like a school setting, like community college. It can be like just a training center. And sometimes, like in a country like mine in Zambia, where we don't have structures for the arts or things that need to be upskilled, I would rather say, like, we just look down upon, some things are just self-taught for some people, depending on where they are.
Right. You know, when you study trade, it's usually, like you were saying, it's shorter years, and your qualification is usually a diploma. And when you study corporate, it's a bit longer, 4 years plus, and your qualification ends up being a degree, and so on, it increases. Does this give light to one being more important than the other,
or one having more chances of being more successful over the other?
Maybe let me, before I go into that one, let me just add what Zenith had talked about. You know, trade, I feel trade is something that you can even be able to learn yourself. These are skills that you can develop even by yourself, but you would not necessarily have the paper to show for it, as opposed to corporate, where you'd actually go into a school setting and get your certificate or your diploma or your degree. Now, in terms of time, yes, corporate education often takes longer. You know, with trade, within even say a month, there are some programs within a month you can be done, or 6 months or 1 year, you can be able to, you can be done, you can start working, start earning money. But on for corporate education, on the other hand, you would need at least a minimum of 1 year, 6 months for you to be able to get a certificate in that program. And it can go as far as maybe say 4 or 5 years for you to be able to get your degree. But I don't necessarily feel that the length of time then depends, determines that one is better than the other, or one should be regarded as less, less relevant than the other. I believe the length of time goes into, it can be dependent on maybe the institution, because different institutions, I can go to one college which will train me, for instance, if we're talking about corporate education in business administration, to get a degree, it might take me 3 years. And I go to another college to get the same degree, which will also be a degree in business administration, it might take me 5 years. So sometimes it depends on what institution you are going to, and also the level of qualification that you are trying to pursue, and the curriculum that they follow as well. So as regards trade versus corporate education, I believe the time is determined by the type of institution, the type of program that you are taking, the level of certification you want, and also what the course content of that program will be, but not necessarily that because one takes less time than the other, one is better than the other. It's true that they do say that the longer you take learning something, the better that you become at it. That, yes, is true. But you can be a very, very skilled seamstress, and you have only done a program for 6 years. But you can also be a very, very skilled accountant, for instance, also having only studied for 1 year. So I believe time isn't really of the essence, but how you get to apply yourself within that time, and how much you get to learn as well and grow in your trade, or in the skill, or in whatever it is that you're getting to learn.
Yeah, that is true. As you were speaking, I was just thinking, how do we advise a parent who has a child who might be going into college, and given the economic state right now and how jobs are right now, I'm just looking at Zambia right now, what would you advise a parent? Like, is it better to have a child who is self-skilled or who has trade skills so that they can self-employ? Or is it better to have a child who then goes into university and say becomes a doctor? Although, or maybe becomes a teacher, although there still are people with those qualifications who are at home. There are people who are self-employed who are struggling. So as a parent, Zenith, what would you say to, let's say I'm the parent and I have this child and I want to know, how do I advise my own child where to go from here?
Okay. So, and I think this starts from when a child is young. I don't think we should even wait until the time a child needs to go to college to try and figure out which is better, because economies are ever changing, things are ever changing, even jobs are ever changing. So I think it starts from when a child is young. You start to see what interests the child. What does the child like to do? What do they gravitate to? I can tell you for myself, when I was a kid, I asked for a camera. I think I was in sixth grade for the first time. But you know, in those days, your parents just want you to be educated. Finally, when I was in 12th grade, I think my dad got me a camera, you know, and I think I just put that to the west side because then other things just took over. So we have to decide, what do children like? Start doing career day when they're still in maybe even 7th grade, 8th grade. And then by the time it's time to go to college, you know what the child likes, what they're better at doing. And then you decide whether, okay, are you going, taking the formal way, whether it's going to university, 4-year degree, or are you gonna go to a trade school and harness this skill, you know, so that you can become good at it, like gift save. Because then with time you become better, you could be a manufacturing engineer, you could make a factory, whatever it is you decide to do. So I would say start when the children are young, figure out what they like, and then go from there. There's no one better than the other. People could make a living doing either one of them.
That gift, I see you nodding your head. I'm going to pose the same question to you. What would be your advice?
Well, if the mother came to me and asked me and said, gift, which is better? Should I send my child to a trade school so they can finish quickly and start earning money, or should I send them to university? I would say do both, because I believe skills are very, very important. We cannot rely on only one of them. My experience, I started getting skills like quite early in life. I was always trying to learn different things and find out about different things. And immediately I finished high school, I went to a trade school. I got a licentiate course in computer science. And then after that, before I went to college, I studied, I did a short course in entrepreneurship. And I think I was enjoying the trade school and how I was getting to learn so much in such a short period of time. And then I further went, I did another course at the same college in communication before I could go to university to start pursuing my degree. And I realized while in university that the skills that I had learned before going to university really, really helped me and were able to put me at an advantage compared to my colleagues, because there were certain things that I had learned prior that were almost new to everybody. But because I had known them, it was easy for me to understand and apply myself. And even in my professional career now, I have seen that those skills that I learned at the trade school, which I did not learn in college, have really, really helped me and been able to set me apart. So I believe skills are important, yes. If you have the money, send your child to university, but also remind them to say, let them not just focus on whatever it is that they'll be getting in that classroom. Let them also be able to learn different skills and just beef up whatever it is that they are learning. Communication skills, that is a must. That is definitely, definitely a must. Things like leadership, we often don't get taught that in our normal curriculum in university, but those are very, very important skills that, like Zenith said, children should start to develop from a tender age, and that will really, 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 really help. Yeah.
Now I want to address the big elephant in the room about these two styles of education or ways to go about your education. I think we all know and can agree that there's a negative perception that has to do with trade schools, that the students that get to go to trade schools failed in some way in, your corporate schools or like our everyday schools, your mainstream schools that usually prepare for corporate university or corporate studies. Now, what do we have to say about that, Zenith? Is it time to get over the perception, or is it worthy? Is there a reason behind it that we should be understanding?
There is reason behind it, but we have to unlearn it, because obviously we have to go back to the history, right? Like our education system as it stands, I think in Zambia was established in 1924, right? When we became a British colony. And by after 1964, after independence, our university was, you know, established, and a lot of teachers that we had left because most of them were foreigners, Indians and the British. And then there was this whole push about educating a lot of Zambians and taking over those jobs and building a university, which was, I think, opened in 1966. So prior to that, the centers that were open for, let's say, Zambians were for the trades, right? Because the white people had the white collar jobs. And once the British left, there was this, everybody now just steered towards the white collar jobs. You know, as we know, a doctor, lawyer, teacher was one of those in those days. And somehow we completely forgot about the trades. And then with time, it became one of those things like, yes, if you failed, that's when you go to do the trades. So the language has to change, because we've realized now that we have a problem. There are a lot of demand-driven skills that there are not enough people to do them. And this could actually help drive the economy. So we need to unlearn that idea and change the language. Because when you hear somebody from Ministry of Education say, oh yes, we have a pathway for those that fail, it doesn't empower the youth or the young people, because then they look at that and they feel like, well, I don't want to be seen doing that. So it's not attractive to the young people to do any of these trades. So I think the language should be that if you're interested in it, whether you're academically sound or not, it's something you can go for, you know, to do something else other than the four-year college. Like, I know some lady I follow on Instagram, I think her name is Chisomolombe. I know she studied accounting, I think, at Zika's. Today, she makes clothes, beautiful pieces. So yes, is she academically sound? Yes, she is. But with time, she turned her business into something else that she loves. It doesn't have to be that because you failed. And there are many other stories, and I could even tell my own. When I was about 19, my dad died. I was studying accounting. I was at the accountancy training college. So when my dad died, I decided, well, let me find a small job that would help me get pocket money. So I started working at a swimming pool. I was a lifeguard, because when I was about 17, I had gotten a lifeguard certificate, because my high school, the high school that Chulu and I went to, they provided that, you know, and you'd never think you'd use such a thing. And people laughed at me. They said, look at her. She's studying accounting and she's working at a swimming pool. So it's that sort of thing. Now, I have thick skin, so that never bothered me, because I knew that I was heading somewhere. It was okay. But if you look at a young person, they don't want to be seen doing stuff like that. They don't want to be laughed at. They want to be seen doing the cool things. So yeah, we have to unlearn that. We just have to unlearn and relearn that perception.
I like that. I learn and relearn. There's a lot of things in this education system that we just have to unlearn and relearn. That is so true. Give, how accessible is trade schools in Zambia?
So generally, they're quite accessible. We have at least one trade school in almost every province. And the good thing is now some of them are having boarding facilities. So regardless of where you're coming from, you can be able to be accommodated and you can be able to pursue your course. So corporate education, however, is a little less accessible for certain reasons. One of them could be the cost, because it's much higher than if you were to go to a trade school. You would obviously pay much higher in terms of academic tuition fees. Yeah, but in terms of availability, they are there. We have at least one in every province. And the application process is not too stringent. There are some that actually even accept you to go there even before you have a grade 12 certificate, although a lot of them have the grade 12 certificate as a basic requirement.
I want to speak both sides, and I want to have them equally yoked, if I can put it that way. What are the advantages of corporate, and also what are the advantages of trade? And then we will also go into the disadvantages, but let's speak about the advantages of trade. Zenith, we can start with that.
Okay, so obviously, like Gift mentioned, it's cheaper, school is cheaper, takes a short amount of time. And, you know, you could easily start a small scale business on your own much quicker than going for a 4-year college. And yeah, pretty much those are the three advantages I can think of.
Okay, that's trade. Now, Gift, if you don't mind sharing on corporate, what are the advantages of corporate?
Okay, before I go to that, can I just add one other advantage I feel that trade has? It allows you to be creative. Yeah, it allows you to be creative, to express yourself. And usually trade skills are there to, like, you're creating something, you're making something. So you can make whatever comes in your mind. Oftentimes you don't have like a specific design or a specific schedule that you have to follow, as opposed to the corporate world where most of the time you're doing repetitive work and not really exploring your creative side and letting your creative juices flow. In terms of advantages that corporate work would have, one of them I would say is some form of security. You know, when you're doing something on your own, there are a lot of challenges that come with it. There's the risk of failure, of you not doing well, especially if you're self-employed. Like, for instance, if you're a tailor and you have your own little shop somewhere and you're doing your own thing, there's the risk that you will not have customers in that month. Then what happens in that month? You will not have money and you will not be able to pay rent and all those things. But if you are working in an institution or in an organization, the chances of you not getting paid that month are a little slimmer. It happens in some organizations, but in most organizations, you are guaranteed that, yes, I still have my job for the foreseeable future. So there's job security there. There's a guarantee of a salary as well. And certain times the pay is a little bit higher than if you were working for yourself. And that's what I can think about for now in terms of the advantages of the corporate world.
Senath, I'm going to go back to you and now just touch on the disadvantages of let's say corporate, because I think Gift kind of touched on the disadvantages of trade a bit more in depth. Of corporate, besides having to do something repetitively, what are the disadvantages of that?
Okay, so before I start that, I just wanted to touch on a point that Gift mentioned. And I think maybe the setting in Zambia might be that if you do trades, mostly you're self-employed. So maybe like we have a ways to go in terms of like maybe companies and infrastructures, because for example, here in the US, if you go to a trades, there's still companies where you can work and you're secure in your job. So there are certain things that you would do, it's a skill and you don't have to worry about the insecurity. For example, people who fix like the HVAC or the, you know, like HVAC systems, plumbing, for example, that kind of stuff. That you can actually have a permanent job with a company and you did trades. So maybe we have a ways to go to get to that stage where when you do trades, it doesn't mean self-employed and therefore it meaning maybe a lack of income sometimes or if things go wrong where, but you can study something, it's trade, but it still guarantees a job. So anyway, going to the point of disadvantages with corporate, universities cost money, and sometimes it requires you to get a loan, you know, that you'll be paying for God knows how many years. I think it's not as bad in Zambia as it is here, but people get out of school and they pay loans and it's very stressful for the rest of their lives. And sometimes you can't get this four-year degree and not get a job. Because maybe whatever field you studied is saturated for some reason, because sometimes if you just get into something and yeah, you could get out with debt and without a job. So that can happen as well.
Now, I was about to touch on the unemployment that sometimes comes with, you know, people with qualifications like degrees and, you know, honors and masters. You find people at home, but they have these, you know, beautiful qualifications. They're learned, they have the information. Recently in Zambia, there was a call for teachers who haven't been employed for a very long time. And although they were called in, there are some who are still not paid to this day. It's been some 3 months, some, you know, 6 months since they've been called in. And you wonder, like, how is that providing security? You know, yes, with trade, like we said, you know, you can self-employ. If maybe the job center doesn't employ you like a freelancer or something like that, you can still self-employ. You can still do your own stuff on the side with the same skill. But now when you are definite corporate, you end up being somewhat stuck. What can you say about that? How do you, I don't know if it's going to be advice or what should happen next? Is it to the government? Is it to the youth? Is it to the parents? Is it the education system? Is there someone failing us? What's happening?
There's a lot that can be talked about in that regard. You've just made me think of one thing where, you know, this time we were having this recruitment of the teachers and the health workers and all. There was a sad story of a gentleman who actually committed suicide because he felt he was left out and he thought there was no more hope for him. And I was thinking to say, but how can he say there's no more hope for him? The government was employing, but you know, as the government was employing, some of those teachers who were going into the civil service were coming from private institutions. So meaning there were opportunities being left there. And you know, the problem is a lot of us, when we go to university or when we get this corporate education, we have this fixed mindset to say, I'm getting this so that I can get a job in this particular company. And when that doesn't happen, we feel there's no other alternatives. I just want to encourage the youths out there or whoever it is out there to say, be open-minded, really be open-minded. The opportunities are so many, and that's where skills come in and where skills are also important to say, while I'm waiting for this, my dream job, what else can I be doing? How can I still be able to apply myself? How can I still be able to contribute value, even if it's not in the particular institution I thought I would work in? But let me start from somewhere. Let me not just sit and wait until the doors are opened to that dream organization, but let me start doing something. If it's a teacher, look for opportunities to start tutoring in your community, for instance. And from there, some of the parents would recognize and say, oh, there's this person who tutors well. If they know of an opportunity somewhere for a full-time job, you can be able to get such an opportunity. So I think it's about opening our minds to say there are so many possibilities out there, and we can still be able to benefit from them. Sorry, I digressed a little bit. Just bring me back on track.
That is okay. That's what we need. We need all these ideas. I hope anyone who's going to be listening to this is going to pick on one of those ideas and really employ them in their own lives. We need to keep an open mind. I think you really said it there when you said keep an open mind. Long are the days where we are to depend on one income as an individual or one qualification as an individual. There's a saying, jack of all trades, master of none, is still better than something like not knowing any of them. Even though you may be jack of all trades, it is better to be jack of all trades and not master one, because if you master one, then where else can you fit in? So that's where we need to move towards as individuals, to move away from, oh, like as a teacher, I want a doctorate in teaching. I want to be a professor in teaching. But also keep that mindset, like Gif was saying, keep an open mind to say, as a teacher, what else can I do? Be a tutor or do some training, not only in the classroom or open a school. Our teachers are very diverse in the sense that we are so good at administration. I can work at an administration office, or I can offer freelancing opportunities for that. In my school, we use so much IT. I find myself helping people who are not in the teaching industry with IT. So just to go on to what Gift was saying, it just brought so many stuff in my mind when she was saying, keep an open mind. We are done with having one thing, because like Zenith said in the beginning, economy is always changing. There's no telling that corporate is what's going to push you forward or trade is what's going to push you forward. This year or 5 years now, this period of 5 years, you'll be pushed forward by trade. But then 5 years later on, you would have to depend on corporate. So it says, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. Yes. Thank you so much. The English was not Englishing.
It's just made me think of one thing. You know, these days, these corporate jobs, there's this expectation or requirement. You know, when you have the, what do you call it? The when there's a job application call, usually amongst the requirements, they'll say so maybe say 1 year or 2 years work experience is preferred and things like that. And you'd be there thinking, I'm just straight out of university. Where am I going to get this 2 years work experience from? And it disadvantages so many people. But in my experience, I've come to realize that in as much as they'll say 2 years experience in this particular field, if you present yourself as a person who is learning and who is open to growth, and you present, for instance, other skills that you have and maybe volunteering experience that you have done where you maybe even did some kind of internship, paid or unpaid, they actually can be able to consider and say, yes, this person, even though they don't have this 2 years work experience, but they're showing the value that they can bring to us through what they have already done. So, yeah, I just thought of adding that to what you've just said.
That's actually true. But the trade, obviously, in college, you are doing it. In the corporate world, when you go in for the interview, like you're saying, Gift, there's this expectation that you should have some sort of experience, but then no one is giving you the experience. In schools, in primary schools, children are now, especially where I work at an international school. Children are now taught actual skills. When you look at countries that are doing well in education, like Finland and places like that, they are given actual skills like carpentry, gardening. However, you find that in our government schools, such things are not provided. And these are things that are necessary. Like we look at curriculums like Montessori, they teach students to be skillful people. When you look at schools in Japan, the students are, you know, self-motivating. They're not really depending, they're not letting their education to only come from the teacher, but they are going hand in hand with the teacher. Zenith, how can we at least empower our students while they are here in like primary school, high school, so that when the time comes, at least we have decreased the negative perception of trade? Because I think a lot of times we are preparing them for corporate unknowingly, and given the systems that we are using, given the curriculums that we are using, how can we then, especially speaking to our government schools, make sure that we really are, you know, propelling our students forward by the skills that we are giving them here in schools?
So I think it does start with the curriculum itself. I think the curriculums need to change. Like you said, in the government schools, I think in the private schools, it's a little bit different, because I remember when I was a kid, we had things like home economics or gardening and painting in primary school. And even in secondary school, we still had those classes, but it's the way they were laid out. So they had this system of where you're in class. If you did very well, you scored well, you were in class A, you did bookkeeping and French. So then you were in class B, you did agriculture and home economics and class C. So already the way it's designed, it's already that thing we're talking about, oh, you did less than, you failed, and then you're going to do these courses. But honestly, when I look back, those are things like maybe I would have chosen to do agriculture, you know, if given the opportunity, but then that meant that I did less, I didn't do well. So I think the curriculum itself needs to change to incorporate these things like they do in other countries, like gardening, painting, carpentry, mechanics, or whatever it is, photography, you name it. That way kids are encouraged, and then it's a choice. It doesn't have to be because you did pure sciences, you don't have to do this. There are people who did pure sciences and they hate the sciences, but that's what they were given because of the grades. And let it be a choice, and maybe that might change the conversation from something that is looked down upon to something that's just, okay, I can do this if I want to, so that by the time kids are growing up, they have an open mind to these skills. And girls too should be encouraged, because I think I remember you had things like technical drawing only in boys' school, home economics in girls' school. Yeah, girls can draw too. I recently had a lady come and fix my windows. I was watching in amazement as she was welding, blending. I said, look at that. And she's making a living.
It's so funny that you say that. I want to go back to the class A, B, and C. At my high school, the classes were set up like that. And the A students were the low achieving, the B, they were kind of mid achieving. They were the accountants, the business students. And then the C were the scientists, the doctors, and the everything that was regarded as very difficult. And therefore, if you can work it out, the mathematicians. And so funny thing is that my sister, who was in the C class, and she did well for her math, her science, everything, is someone who went into trade. And she started with going into performing arts, and then she went into aircraft. She's an aircraft technician right now. And all these things are things that you have to use your body and use your hands and skills, not necessarily the way that she was put out in the world. And I think that really plays a really big role in how also students perceive themselves. Because unfortunately for me, I was in the A class. And you can imagine being in the A class. Zenith just raised her hand a little like that. You know, being in the A class, you go out in the world in grade 12, which we call matric in South Africa. You go out in the world thinking, there's nothing that I can do that is going to be enough for the world. Whatever I want to do is not enough, because I can't crack the math equation or the scientific terminologies and things like that. That one just opened so, yeah.
Yeah. Can I just add on to that real quick before you move on? So ours was opposite. It was A was for the people that did very well, then B, you know, middle, then C, they did very low. And I remember when I went to eighth grade, I was in the A class. So then we did the bookkeeping, the geography, and the French. But by ninth grade, I wasn't doing so well. By grade 8 and 9, I wasn't doing well. So then I went to 10B. And those that came from 9B, it was even a whole joke. Like, oh, they've been displaced. I mean, it was a whole thing. Like, people were like, yeah, we'll displace them. We'll displace them. And so you had those that did very well at grade 9 come to 10A, and some of us moved to 10B. And it was like you felt some kind of way, like you were saying, like, oh my God, where's my future? But when I look back, I realize that for me, luckily, my dad, even though he was like from the colonial era type education, he sort of understood. He wasn't hard on me. He was like, whatever it is that you're good at, you're going to go with that, you know, whatever you like. Okay, you're good in math. Maybe you'll be a math teacher or an accountant, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, it was it was painful. I remember grade 10, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can only, oh, just not even imagine. I'm just having flashbacks. Gift, there's the school of YouTube these days. And a lot of people are not 100% happy with the school of YouTube because somehow, somewhat, it's taking over, say, for people in fashion who went to fashion school. And here I am, old me, who can afford fashion school, and I'm gonna go to the school of YouTube and I crack it, but I don't have the degree that says this is what I've done. What do you have to say about that?
Well, do not be discouraged. The fact that you were bold enough to go out there and learn is something that's very, very commendable. Unfortunately, yes, there are many institutions these days that want the paper. Without the paper, they feel you are not capable. But I would say do not be discouraged. Do what you can with what you have. Start something, even if it doesn't require you to be in the place that wants the paper. But when you're able to, there's nothing wrong with going for the paper. There are so many places where you can be able, even the minimum certificate can make a difference. But start with what you are able to do and do not be discouraged. At least take that initiative to say, let me learn this. I personally have learned a lot of things on YouTube and through Google and Skillshare and all that, that I haven't yet gotten the paper. But even these, you know, there are these courses that you can actually do online and get certification. There's actually an opportunity to get certification from those institutions. So go the extra mile. If it means paying something little to get that certification, go ahead and do that. That certification might be considered and appreciated in some place. Okay, I just wanted to add to the previous conversation as Zenith was talking about the curriculum and how that needs to change. I've realized of late, we have actually started to adjust our curriculum. We're now bringing in financial literacy education from a tender age, which is something that's very, very good. We're also bringing in agriculture as a compulsory subject, not something that those who are considered less academic performing would go for, but that anybody can be able to engage in. And now we have a lot of schools, both primary schools and secondary schools, and even colleges having production units where they encourage you to be able to learn certain skills from there, be it agriculture, be it carpentry and things like that, which are also contributing to the increase in skills development, which I think is quite commendable. I think it's also a matter of us just normalizing the conversation of your passion can make sense, your interest can make sense. I think parents and teachers and the community should encourage children from a tender age to get to learn what it is they think they're good at or what it is that they like and be able to develop that from a tender age. I think that would also really, really help change the narrative.
So I'm going to give you ladies an opportunity to just round off what today's conversation is basically about.
So I think in general, like Gift mentioned earlier, we need to probably take like a dual approach to this, like where you can't get your white collar job, but get your skills. I think what happens often, maybe in Zambia, you go to university, it's theoretical, you graduate, you have the paper and you haven't trained. And maybe that, I don't know, maybe now things have changed, like Gift is saying, you know, I haven't been there in a long time, but sometimes things like internships, for example, here schools are very practical. And I think Germany does a very good job at that. Like, 2 years into university, they start sending you out to these companies, these manufacturing places. So then you become what you call like a, like I'm a nurse, for example. And for someone, someone can take a 2-year course and become a nurse, but you can also have, you can pursue the bachelor's route for 4 years. And at the 2-year mark, we have what we call student nurses. So they come and they start working on the units as nurses, even though they are student nurses. So by the time they're graduating for, you know, 4 years later, they have this quote unquote experience. So maybe, you know, even when someone is taking a 4-year degree, like maybe volunteer, like you mentioned early, volunteer your time if you can't get an internship, but maybe programs just need to incorporate that as well. You know, go speak to companies, go say you do it for free. You don't have to get paid because that time that you're doing that, you're investing in yourself. You know, it might look like a waste of time, but it is not. So, and train yourself to do something outside of the white collar job, whatever it is, whether you like fixing cars, braiding hair, cooking, making juice, you know, whatever it is, train, upskill, you know, if you can, and you can be a professional at that. You can open a small business, you could open a company, you can employ people. It contributes to the economy. I think it's a beautiful thing to have as well. And, you know, as the children are growing up, the youth, we just need to teach them that, you know what, find your passion, you know, take that path. You can do both. It doesn't have to be white collar. It's not only to be a doctor or a lawyer. You can be a photographer. You can be many things. You know, you can make a perfect hammer and make a business out of it.
She has summed it all. Like, I don't have anything to add. I really don't have anything to add. I would just say, in as much as whatever it is that you're doing, just do it to the best of your ability. Set yourself apart. Be the best version of yourself. Don't look down on yourself and say, no, it's just a skill that I have. There's nothing like just a skill. That skill is very valuable. And without you, without that tailor, I wouldn't have this dress. Okay, so it's not just a skill. It's something very, very valuable. And if you're there in the corporate world as well, open your mind. Don't limit yourself to just what you're doing, but see what other opportunities there are. Never stop learning. Because in this day and age, the way the economy is changing and all that, you need to stay relevant. So staying relevant is not just being good at whatever it is that you got from college 10 years ago. No, but see how you can improve yourself, what skills that you can develop to be the best, even in the setting that you find yourself. And for those who are wondering, should I start? Should I go to trade school? Should I go to university? Stop wondering. Choose one of them and build from there. Yeah.
I like the straightforwardness. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop looking here and there. And if I can summarize just a few ideas, stay relevant. I really think that popped out a lot. You want people to want whatever that you're offering. Stay relevant. Internships. And it doesn't always mean, like Zainath said, it doesn't always mean the ones that are prepared for you in your course. You can go to a company, ask to volunteer, and do it while you're studying, even if it's for free. Invest in yourself. And franchise, you know, dream as big as, you know, your fears can take you. Apparently, when you dream, if it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. If you don't go, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? It's not big enough. So if you haven't reached there, push even those limits. Franchise, whatever you're doing, see how you can even offer other people to continue that thing. Zainath and Gif were saying, like having a product, whatever it is, a skill that you're offering, if it's juice, you know, push that juice. Let us know about it. Tell us the benefits of it. And yeah. And I think what I'd like to say and add on is that find what you love, as it has been said, and do that. Also, you are the only you there is, so be the best that you can. We'll never ever experience this you. You will never experience this you in this lifetime. So always push your yesterday today. Ladies and all our listeners, know that you got something from this and you really are going to employ it in your own lives, or if not, in someone else's life. I am Taboga Kangote, and this is The Educated Africana.
Be part of the solution. Talking is not enough. We need action. So I am challenging you today. What are you going to do about what you just heard? Tell us all about it on social media. Tag at Africana Women or hashtag Educated Africana. The Educated Africana is part of the Africana Women Podcast Network. subscribe, review, and share this episode to help us keep the conversation going. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram at Africana Woman or #educatedafricana. Catch you next week.